the Music Modernization Act is now officially introduced in a big bipartisan way in the House and the Senate.
Right.
It seems to me it represents culmination of a whole lot of behind-the-scenes work. And my sort of lead on this story is that after years of waiting and wondering and hearing mixed messages about the ability of the industry to come together and the lagging behind the technology, quote unquote, this seems to be the biggest step forward in a long time.
Yeah, I think it is. I think this process started back in 2013 when Maria Palanti, the Register of Copyrights, introduced the idea of a new copyright review process. Chairman Goodlatte of the House Judiciary took that up and started the process. And we knew then that there was about a six-year window when it needed to take place. And we're now in that sixth year. So about for the last 8 months, various parties, digital service providers, publishers, record companies, different and PROs, performing rights organizations, have been talking about this very thing that has become the Music Modernization Act. So it was 8 months of these parties. I was not in that room, but many entities were. And I think what they've come out with is something that the industry can look at and say, you know what, this is better than what we have now. Maybe the best thing we can do. So personally, I'm supportive of it. I may have some questions on certain parts of it, as a lot of other people do, but I think it's a great improvement to what we've had.
Two key components. First one seems to be achieving an ability for streaming services to get a blanket license, which is the way radio stations have done it for many years. One-stop shop, or at least in the case of radio, two or three-stop shopping, ASCAP, BMI, CSAC. Pay once based on your size, your art marketplace, and I don't have to go song by song, publisher by publisher for that composition. And so is this analogous, and how maybe not so much?
Yeah, that's what it is in a simple form. As an industry, the digital service providers, the Spotify, the Apple Music, when I say DSPs, I mean those, they have for years said, we don't have a one place where we can go find out who you guys, the song owners, are. And you guys, the song owners, need to give us that because otherwise it's hide and seek and we can't find out who owns what where. There's no easy way to do that. They were willing to try to license things, but just simply could not find all the owners. So what this does is it mandates that there is going to be what's called a music license or a mechanical license collective, which is a music license collective, one place that will contain all of the song information and owners and percentages for the songs that will then offer a blanket license, like you were saying, to the DSPs, so that there's one place they can go to get a blanket license and use all the songs.
The idea of a unified database of who owns what song, who wrote, and what the splits are has been a long-held kind of dream.
Yeah.
And why would this one have a better shot than private or BMI ASCAP initiations or the blockchain world we see trying to head that direction? Has this one got more heft behind it, assuming this becomes law?
Yeah, I think it does because, first of all the parties around the table from around the industry have agreed that we want to give this a shot. I think the biggest difference is the DSPs, the Apples, the Spotifys, have agreed to pay for it. So they have said, guys, we will put up money for this and we'll pay for it because it's good for them. However, in exchange for that, we want you music publishers to give us a promise, or actually to have it written in law, you cannot sue us for damages and attorney's fees if there are infringements. So, you know, we as the song owner community are indeed giving up a big right, which is damages, because, as you know, a song owner can sue somebody for infringement and they can recover what the earnings were. But the big dollars come in when it's up to $150,000 per song for damages plus attorney's fees. And that part we as song owners are giving up in exchange of the DSPs funding this collective. But again, I think we all as an industry think, okay, that's not a bad swap, because now we're going to be able to license things more effectively.
other big component is the Copyright Royalty Board has a new standard for setting rates. This is tough, but can you describe this for lay people and what this means?
Let's see if I can describe it for in my mind. As I get it, there was an act introduced by Doug Collins, Congressman Doug Collins from Georgia, over a year ago. Songwriter Equity Act had 5 points, basically 4 major points to it. One of them was what was called a willing seller, willing buyer, which basically Doug Collins introduced the Music Modernization Act. So he's taken a lot of that language and put into this. So basically what it means is where possible, as the CRB or the Copyright Royalty Board reviews rates, that they can incorporate all kind of evidence to get as close to what we call willing seller, willing buyer as possible. There was one part of that where the copyright royalty judges were restricted in, and this had to do with some broadcast, restricted in bringing certain evidence in to say, well, here's what is paid on the, let's say, record side as opposed to the song owner side. So what this act does is it tries to incorporate willing seller, willing buyer, basically whatever the free market would do as best we can tell on its own, and this law allows that to happen.
Sort of a distinction from the concept of a government-set price-fixing kind of situation, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what we're trying to do is get the government, and the government is saying this, the government is trying to get the government out of setting rates for music because, you know, song rates as a copyright is one of the few parts of industries of copyright where the government actually sets rates. So they're trying to back themselves out of this. And by pushing to the willing seller, willing buyer, that's one step in removing them.
How does this relate to the announcement of the last week or two of this supposed 40-odd percent increase? The CRB took an action that seems just coincidental. Can you describe what's going on there and if it relates or has any bearing on the legislation?
Sure. It is just kind of coincidental that the timing of all of this, the CRB could have announced the rates as early as December, as late as January, and in fact, it was a little later than everybody had thought, I think, because of holidays or snow days or whatever, I'm not sure. Government shutting down, maybe that had something to do with it. But basically, the CRB rates, the publishers were trying to go in and say, hey, instead of setting rates, can we do a penny rate? A penny rate would be per stream, whether it was a premium subscription stream or a free service stream. Well, we didn't get that. But what we did get was an increase to where, there are 13 different compulsory license rates that can be applied to digital, or maybe 12 of them can be applied to digital. But in its simplest form, a Spotify-type service, it's a complex formula, but somewhere in that formula is something to say 10.5% of your gross revenue, subscription and or advertising revenue, goes through this complex formula, but it starts at a 10.5%. What the CRB ruling has done is say, we're going to increase that percent. I think it goes to 11.1% in 2018 right now, and it tops out at 15.1% in 5 years. So in 5 years is when we will see this. I think it's 43% increase from what we have today. It increases every year for the next 5 years. And basically, it's taking that base 10.5% of revenue from the DSP and increasing it ultimately up to 15.1.
Does that mean, the legislation aside, does that mean that any given songwriter who's got 4 albums out that stream and 5 or 6 cuts by other artists that get streamed, that they can, all things being equal, expect those checks to be up to 40% bigger over these next 5 years?
Yeah, there's no reason not to. Absolutely. You know, my hope is all song owners will see their checks go up even more than that because, you know, as we know, streaming has become more and more popular, and the income without the rate increase should be increasing on its own. So now with the popularity of streaming and people subscribing to that, as well as now the rate increase, I'm hoping that we're going to see more than a 43% over 5 years.
So kind of bullish on this? Have things kind of turned around in a fundamental way for the songwriter and the independent musician?
In my opinion, absolutely yes. There's a lot of good things happening in the future. The two things that we've been struggling with in the past were, number one, that people were listening to music for free and getting it for free outside of even these Spotify free services that are still licensed. They were listening to unlicensed use services. The second thing is, no longer was the industry able to force somebody to buy 12 songs when they want one. And you know, the argument of you don't have to buy the album, you can a la carte buy the song. Well, that in and of itself hurt the industry a lot because, a songwriter who never had a single on a big release would still get the same number of mechanical royalties as somebody who had the big song on that release. That's no longer the case. Now it's about popularity. But the good thing, so we struggled with that. The good thing now is, and it has been, there are more songs available to more people than ever before. And as independent artists, there's more ways, easier ways to make your music available to more people and to get your own kind of crowd with that. So I look at this optimistically to say, okay, we finally figured out how to monetize it, how to drive the marketplace to where they're listening to songs and the songs have value and people are paying for it in some way, even though it's fractions of micro pennies perhaps, but those things are adding up. And so now with more music available to more artists than ever before and more artists, one statistic is 150,000 recordings outside of the major record companies are being introduced into the marketplace every month. Okay, 150,000 songs. Well, that wasn't the case 10 or 20 years ago. So now there's all of these songs now are earning something, fractions of pennies. So I think the industry is going to expand with the rate increase that we've had now, as well as now people are accepting using the services that are properly licensed and generating royalties. So yeah, I think we're going to see a huge and bright future in the music song owner business.
John Rucker, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.